You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Do you have a phone that has internet on it?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, pull that mic up.
Tommy Starr hanging out with you on the Sound Atlas in the studio with me today, Mr. Greg. What do you want to be called now?
Greg Edwards is the name, but I guess everybody knows Greg Ed.
Okay, now the other day,
Tim.
I like that you bring that up, because the other day we were talking and you said, no more Greg Ed. Is that true?
I just changed my Facebook name back to the good old Greg Edwards.
Okay, but are you saying that, because I mean, most people that know you as Greg Ed.
Yeah.
Does that bother you now that some folks call you that?
No.
Okay, you're just saying that's not something you really push anymore. If people call you that, that's cool.
I have so many names like that.
Uh-huh.
I was named Gregory, then I went to Greg, then like, I don't know, elementary, it was Eddie.
Eddie?
Eddie Edwards, you know.
How does Eddie work in?
Just my friends, just Eddie Edwards.
Okay, just goofing around.
And then it switched to Ed forever,
mm-hmm.
And then Greg Ed came about.
Yeah.
People it's none of my doing. This people keep nicknaming me stuff.
Kind of like Ed Fred. Ed Fred has had three or four, and for a while there, we had Ed Fred and Greg Ed, and it seemed like we had somebody else, too. So
I'm just Greg.
Yeah, okay. So Greg Edwards is kind of what you're just going with today.
Yeah.
All right. So you're hanging out with us today on the Sound Atlas, and we're here to just chit-chat about you. Are you currently involved in any bands at all right now? Are you playing with anybody? You're just getting up every morning, going to work, making a paycheck, taking care of your young one,
mm-hmm.
and occasionally going to a show or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I play drums every day, though.
Would you practice every day?
Every day.
That's good. How long do you practice?
Just spurts of, you know, like never like very long, but just like 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there.
You're just trying to somewhat keep yourself familiar with the kit.
It's just, I don't do it on purpose. It's something I just do.
Yeah.
It's like natural, like coffee in the morning.
Kind of in you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing you do.
I like to do it. It keeps me, I don't know.
How many drum kits do you have?
Two.
You have two drum kits, two full drum kits.
Yeah.
Tell me about your drum kits.
The first one I ever had was a Pearl, but I sold that probably in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
90s, I don't know.
Your very first full drum kit was a Pearl?
It was actually, I call it the Pepto-Bismol pink pearl drum set. It was pink. It was the color of Pepto-Bismol.
Have you had that in the past few years? Or did you no, that
it was,
when you were...
that was my first when I was a teenager.
Well, I mean, a lot of folks, when they get first instruments, they don't get a Pearl. Pearl's a pretty good good kit.
It was a lower brand of Pearl, but it was so ugly and pink.
Uh-huh.
Nobody else wanted it.
Uh-huh.
It was the one I could afford.
Uh-huh.
So I cut my teeth on that one.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to a Mapex mm-hmm. back in the day. And then I still have that one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a drum workshop now.
Yeah.
So I moved up a little bit.
Well, let's go back to the Pearl kit.
Okay.
So you bought that kit yourself.
My aunt actually bought it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like 17, I guess. And I was like kind of begging for a drum set for a long time. My mom kind of put that off.
Had you already been in like school band or something?
No.
How did this whole drumming thing take, you know, kind of take if you're 17, no kits,
man,
no...
Man, I had my first pair of drumsticks when I was 7.
You were ready.
My cousin went in to get a guitar and an amp, and I was playing with these sticks the whole time. He was shopping in the store,
mm-hmm.
and when he paid bought the guitar and amp, the dude just said, hey, just keep those, because I've been beating around with him for an hour.
Yeah.
I played those drumsticks for 10 years.
That's kind of cool. So 7 years old, you're just goofing around with the drumsticks. The guys would keep them.
Yeah.
So for 10, let's say 10 years.
I played drumsticks.
You had those same sticks and you just kind of beat around on whatever.
Air drummed to records and beat on the floor and the bed and whatever else my mom could
not
take away from me.
Do you still have those drumsticks?
I do.
You should keep those forever.
My mom
forever.
Found them in her garage and like framed them for me.
You should, yeah.
They're in my son's room right now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I think that's great that you still have those. if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
48.
48 years old. So you've had those drumsticks have been in your life for over 40 years.
Right.
That is really cool.
Isn't that weird?
I love that, though.
Yeah, they were like missing forever. Who knows? You know, I didn't even think about it. My mom just said she found them in the back of her garage in her junk.
Oh, but that is so cool. So you had the first kit, you let that go. Why did you let that go? Put that towards another kit?
Yeah, just mm-hmm. sold it. And then, well, I actually spray painted it because I got this gig on the road or whatever kind mm-hmm. of after high school, and they would not allow me to play with that Pepto-Bismol pink drum set.
They're like, man, we like you, but this kit.
You gotta do something about those pink drums, man.
So you painted them yourself?
I spray painted them black.
Okay.
And I played those for, I don't know, 7 years or so. Just toured we did like a little tour around America. Mm-hmm. So they were like those crappy, I think they were like international pearls. Mm-hmm. They were like a lower down on, you know, a beginner drum set.
Gotcha.
And they were even cheaper because they were so ugly, yeah.
That's great.
I didn't go out to buy a pink drum set because I wanted a pink one.
The Pepto-Bismol.
That's exactly pink what color drums, they were.
It's almost kind of hard to say.
I wish I'd have kept them kind of, actually.
Well, I mean, it would have been kind of cool to have your first drum kit, you know. Yeah. But I get it. A drum kit is not like a guitar. A guitar you can set in the corner, you can put in a case under the bed, right. You can do something with it. You know, set of drums, full set of drums. You got to have a little space for that.
Takes up a little room, yeah.
Yeah, and they're pricey.
Yeah.
I mean, cymbals are not cheap.
Mm-mm.
Those things go for what, $200-$400?
Easy.
Yeah. Crazy money into drumming.
Yeah.
I know you've been in quite a few bands through the years. When you guys split the cash, did you get extra cash because drums are more expensive?
No, man. I was lucky to get anything, you know?
They're like, look, I got to buy amps and stuff. Look at the price tag on those.
The word band fund, I always love that one.
Uh-huh.
Going in the band fund.
Yeah, band fund and for a couple of days.
Then the band breaks up. Like, where did the band fund go?
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So your first band, what was your first band?
The first band I was ever in, mm-hmm. besides like garage, like, you know, stuff, mm-hmm. was this band called Angel X.
Angel Legs?
Angel X.
Angel X.
And it was a pretty corny, but almost kind of good, just 80s cover metal band.
Mm-hmm.
We just toured America playing covers.
Oh, that's the one where you took the kid with?
Yeah.
So you're saying you were in a full-on band touring the country right out of high school?
1 week after my 18th birthday.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, 6 months after graduating high school.
How long were you guys out?
About 2-3 years.
Dang.
Yep.
Do you have anything from those days?
I do. That's tapes, yeah.
Oh.
It's just all 80s hair metal stuff and some other different stuff, you know, but some of the cheesy hair metal stuff. But then we threw in some little heavier stuff here and there.
Angel X.
Angel X.
Any original tunes or all covers?
All covers. They just paying gig and they toured and I went, you know.
I totally want to see some of those pictures.
Yeah.
Do you have any of them up on your Facebook page?
No.
You got to do that, man.
I don't know.
You got to do that.
I don't know.
That would be kind of fun.
But like a couple of guys, there's five dudes in the band, you know, and like a lot of those dudes, they kind of glammed it up a little bit, mm-hmm. like more poisony.
Yeah.
But like it was me and the guitar player were the two younger ones.
Uh-huh.
And we were like more the Metallica heads. So they would be all glamored up and we'd be in our Metallica shirts. And
you'd have black on with the skin tight black jeans and your high tops or something like that. And they were out there with like boas and
kinda,
stuff.
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah. And you go, okay.
It's a good mix of spandex and like, yeah.
Okay. Angel X. Those of you listening, make sure you hit up Mr. Greg Edwards here to put some of those pictures up. I'd like to see those.
A long time ago.
After that, something local, something here. Did you
High
do
Street.
Something? High Street.
Came back and
yeah.
I want to do an original band. That was the first original band.
High Street's one of those bands that sometimes people will bring that band up. Who all was in that band?
It was me, Brian White, Greg Compton, and Bobby Tomlinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys actually did a little bit of something, didn't you?
We were pretty good for a couple years, yeah.
Did you actually release any music?
No, we never did record.
I remember seeing a video. You did a video, right?
Yeah, we did a video.
What song was that?
I don't know, man.
Seems like it was scenes from you guys maybe in somebody's house, like at a party.
It was at our band house, and then like Picasso's probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what year for that?
That was early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
High Street, like I said, High Street's one of those bands that every once in a while when I talk to somebody, they'll bring that band up. Matter of fact, a friend of mine, his brother apparently was friends with you guys, and his brother brought him to some of y'all's, you know, get-togethers, parties and stuff. And so he will say, oh, yeah, High Street, man. I used to hang out with those guys. They were so cool.
We started house parties, you know, playing.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved up to, like, Picasso's and then traveling around a little bit.
So a couple of years, and then that wrapped up. You guys did the one video. You didn't release anything.
We just had live. We just like to record our concerts. And I guess we probably would have done a studio thing, but
yeah. It just never got to it?
We just, you know, broke up before we ever did a record.
Now, after that, where are we going? Are we going to...
I moved to Nashville.
Oh, you went away for a while.
Yeah.
What were you doing down in Nashville? Just trying to make it?
Trying to make it.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Well, I kind of got homeless a little bit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So what year did you go to Nashville?
It was 93.
You went down to Nashville in 1993. How long were you down there?
About 3 years.
So what happened? Give us kind of in a nutshell what happened.
In a nutshell, kind of moved down there and moved in with some people, me and the guitar player, trying to find a band and kind of lost that spot. But mm-hmm. we're kind of halfway to getting our own place. Mm-hmm. So instead of coming back, we just decided to, we already had jobs, you know.
Yeah.
We kind of just toughed it out. We had a storage unit mm-hmm. and cars. We did that for a couple months.
So you had a car and you lived in a storage unit.
We could stay in the storage unit until midnight.
Uh-huh.
And they'd kick us out. And then it opened back up at 8, so.
Was it one of those deals where you guys, that was like your rehearsal space?
It had electricity, we could jam, yeah.
Yeah. So after midnight, you had to crash in the back seat of the car.
Yeah, well, front seat of mine, I had El Camino, so.
So how long did you do that?
About 2-3 months.
How was it?
It was fun at first.
Uh-huh.
And then got kind of old.
Yeah, because probably you didn't have access to a shower.
We had friends.
You went to buddies' houses yeah. and all?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, BP's, you know, bathroom, if need be, real quick.
So toughed it out a little bit, and you're like, okay, that was interesting. Let's go back to Bowling Green.
We stuck down. That was at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
We still stayed down there a few years, you know, and uh-huh. just went through tons of musicians, and it just, yeah.
Yeah.
I came back to Bowling Green.
Yeah. So you came back to Bowling Green in the mid-90s.
It got worse before it got better, as they say. So I just kind of came back to regroup here, and then Temple Hill.
Now, see, that's another big one. You know how much I love Temple Hill.
I came
Hill.
Back to Bowling Green kind of with my tail between my legs, if you say so, or, you know.
Well, the thing of it is, at least you gave it a little bit of a try.
Yeah.
I mean, things didn't really happen, but you stayed down there, we'd say, 3 years.
Yeah, but I came back and stumbled into Temple Hill.
And then, of course, later, Layden and all that, but we'll get to that. But Temple Hill, let's talk about Temple Hill, because you know how much I love that 5-song EP.
Yeah.
Fruit of Knowledge, I still say, is probably, for me personally, the best sounding local tune I think I've ever heard. I don't know what it is about that song, but that song, and not just, I'm not saying just necessarily the way it's recorded, but something about the groove of that song, every time I hear it or play it, it just gets in me. I love that song. Makes I mean, I like the whole EP.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good stuff on there. Tell everybody who was in Temple Hill.
It was me, Michael McMillan, Greg England, Gabe England, and Scott Sabo.
Mm-hmm. How long was that band together, and who put that band together?
How long was it? Probably about, I was probably in that thing about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a band called, they were called Acid Breakfast first.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came back, and I kind of like, a buddy of mine took me to go see them, you know, mm-hmm. they said they were kind of looking for a drummer.
Yeah.
So I was kind of checking them out. They're called Acid Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them at Thursdays. And I was really impressed. And,
across the tracks, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of met him after the show, and they invited me up to their jam room, and I went up and tried out. And,
mm-hmm. Did they yeah. have a drummer at the time?
They did, but I don't know what really was going on there.
Something was going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you joined, did they change the name right after you joined the band?
I actually suggested the name change to Temple Hill.
Why Temple Hill?
Because when I remember going there to their jam house, there's a big sign that said, "Welcome to Temple Hill."
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was really cool looking.
So and you're like,
I didn't really, that's a breakfast name too much.
Well, I mean, you know, that's.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Temple Hill, much better, I think. That's for
they
sure.
They agreed. Yeah.
So tell us about the recording, this EP that I'm going on about.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's Dave Barrick, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was, I was actually, I think, my first studio experience. So it's kind of scary to do that.
Yeah. You're like, I've been in a couple of bands, but I'm actually in a studio recording music.
The play button is, yeah,
uh-huh.
going in.
The kit is set up and we're rolling.
First song was Cave, was our first song we recorded.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
What all's on that? Cave, Bread Butter, Fruit of Knowledge. There's two more.
No Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the last one?
And we're hung on the last one.
Lost in Space.
There we go. Couple of them I had to, if I ever want to play some of the other ones I have, there's a couple of them I have to kind of work yeah. on a little bit.
Been a minute.
Yeah, been a minute. But those are some great tracks.
Yeah.
That was what, 95, 96? Well, that's a little bit later, wasn't it?
That's probably like 97, 98.
97, yeah. 98, yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys put that out. How many did you, I'm sure it was a kind of a press up yourself, right? He gave you the CD. Here's your CD.
Yeah.
And you guys probably just like printed them up yourself.
We had the master, and then we just kind of, yeah.
Made did. Copies and gave them to whoever.
Yep.
Do you have any idea how many you made?
I don't know. Hundreds.
Yeah. Though that's one of those that it took a while for me to get. And finally, I got it. So whose idea? The picture of the couch.
That was, I don't.
Or sofa, love seat, whatever it was.
That was Michael's couch that he just kept in his front yard. We'd have bonfire parties at his house, our band house there.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while, we'd pull a couch out and throw it on the bonfire. Then he'd just get another one. And yeah, he'd get tired of that one. We'd move it outside, and that was just one couch. I'm sure it got sacrificed on one of the bonfires, but that was just a couch in his front yard, and I don't know why.
You're telling me that you guys would get together every once in a while, and he would put his couch on the fire?
Yeah, we'd get a good bonfire, go in the front yard, and when it started dying down, we'd go in and grab a couch and...
Oh, man.
Toss it on.
That's a new one. I've never heard that one before. Yeah,
we were out in the middle of nowhere, so yeah. Nobody cared.
Nobody fussed about it. It was all good.
All good.
And just for some reason, this particular couch, or it looks more like a love seat to me, somebody went for it, took a picture, and you said, let's make that the album cover.
I have no idea why we did that. Couch on the cover.
Yeah. So you guys put that out, and you did some touring. You guys were together not too terribly long, were you? Because eventually Layden came about.
Yeah. I guess like... 2001
mm-hmm.
was probably when Layden, yeah.
So Temple Hill kind of had run its course.
Yeah.
Of course, Layden has a couple of the folks from Temple Hill. How did you guys make that transition there?
I was actually just kind of doing what I'm doing now, just in between bands and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I actually heard the Layden demo
mm-hmm.
and was like blown away by it and stuff.
You talking about the one, was it No Salt?
Yeah.
You're not on that?
I'm on the yeah, I mean, I'm on No Salt. No, it's... It was like Force the Plow and the older...
The demo. Original.
They had like WGD and stuff, mm-hmm. but it was like the older demos before mm-hmm. the Dave Eric recording. But I heard it and liked it a lot, and I heard their drummer was quitting,
mm-hmm.
and they were looking for somebody else. I hit up my buddy Michael and said, hey.
And that's how you got in there? Like to try
out? Yeah, I got in that.
Yeah.
Did Michael you, again.
You guys did what, 2 CDs?
We just did one.
Just one? Yeah,
Strength of the Weird.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking you guys did another one. So you did the one, and of course, back with Barrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about going in the studio and recording with that band, the new band, Layden? You've been in there before. It was a new experience for you. You were like, wow, I'm actually in the studio. I'm actually doing some recording. Then you go in and you do a full-on album.
Yeah.
Full deal. Little bit more of a bump up from Temple Hill, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love the studio. It's uh-huh. like, it's, I don't know. It's where the art happens, you know? You can sit and tweak it, and, mm-hmm. I think you hear the songs, like, all new again, you know, mm-hmm. when they're played back for you like that.
Yeah.
If you're just used to playing them live, and you can, you know, really hear them.
Is it like a lot of bands where they say, you know, we were on the road, we were playing a lot of those songs live, then when we come in the studio and we put them down, kind of after we put them down, we're almost done with them because we've played those same songs for so long?
Yeah, and they change a little bit in there, mm-hmm. you know, because you can tweak them out and...
Yeah.
Sometimes they change a little bit.
Well, you've got another member of the band kind of offering right. their opinion and was yeah. in the producer.
That happens, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so. I'm sure working with Dave was pretty cool, though, wasn't it?
Awesome, yeah.
Dave's a good dude.
We love Dave, man.
So which out of Layden and Temple Hill, which one did you like the best? Or which one was more kind of favorable to you and the fans?
Man, when I listen back,
mm-hmm.
you know, I liked the Temple Hill just a tad. I mean, because it's my first one or something.
Do you actually bust those out and listen to them every yeah. once in a while? What's like? What's your track on Temple Hill and your track on Layden? Like, man, this is my go-to each album.
I like the first one, Temple Hill, No Thanks.
Uh-huh.
I think it's just, it's a ripper. You just rip right through it. I don't know. I like that one.
Did you ever hear my version of No Salt?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the middle stuff in it.
With the Frankenstein yeah. stuff in there.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Temple Hill, Layden in the studio with both of those bands, working with Dave Barrick, Layden around for a while, and then eventually it kind of goes... under the knife. What happens with that? What happens that you guys, do you have like a meeting or something where somebody goes, hey man, we don't have any more shows lined up. So-and-so wants to go do this other thing.
It's just, I mean, every situation is different, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, band stuff, this stuff happens. So
that's it. You guys didn't get mad at each other or something?
Man, not too much. We're all brothers, you know, mm-hmm. everybody has their differences and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, yeah, I'm friends with everybody still, so
mm-hmm.
nobody holds grudges and stuff.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Especially as you get a little bit older, you go, man, that was just kind of being...
Love all those guys, man.
Yeah, just kind of being a dick a little bit.
Brothers.
I think that would be cool if Layden got back together and did something.
Mm, never know.
I don't know if that could happen or not.
It could. I mean,
Michael's doing a lot of traveling, but he could pop in town, you know, and you guys could work something out.
Don't see it happening, but you never know, man.
When's the last time you guys got together and played? I know you've done a couple of shows through the years, but it's been a while.
Probably about 5 years ago, we did one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had Luther with us.
Yeah. You need to do that again.
We never know.
You're like, maybe, we'll see.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I can't say yes or no.
Were there any tunes that you guys did live, original tunes, that you did not put on a CD?
In the Layton thing?
Yeah.
I'm sure, but... Mm-hmm.
You don't have any tracks at the house, like some CDs with some Layton or some Temple Hill that never made it onto the CD?
There's lots of Temple Hill stuff that didn't make it. We only did an EP, you know, so... Uh-huh. Yeah, there's lots of Temple... We had to, like...
Stuff that you cut?
The songs that we played live and had written that, you know, we never recorded. There are no recordings of it.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
We actually picked the songs for that Temple Hill EP out of a hat. We all wrote down a song each and threw it in a hat and picked out. And we just, that's the five that made it.
So you're saying you had maybe 10 more songs.
Yeah.
But they just weren't picked. But
right.
But what I'm asking is, there's no other recordings. Like, you only did five songs, and those five songs are there, and that's it.
Unless they're, like, live from shows that are out there.
I'm sure you have some live shows, right?
Probably.
Yeah. You need to give me copies of all that stuff. I need to own all of it.
Muck is the guy.
He's the one that's got it? Stuff.
Yeah, he probably has that.
I think the only thing I've got, I maybe have a, was Temple Hill. No, wait a minute. Yeah, Temple Hill was together in the Kelly Green days, right?
There was two versions of Temple Hill. It was the first one was the four-piece, which was me, Michael, Scott, and then Jeff Pierce. And then we kind of broke up for a while. Michael had a motorcycle accident. And then just kind of came back together. And when we got Greg England and his brother Gabe, and then Michael came back in, and the new Temple Hill five-piece that everybody knows.
Yeah, that's the one that went in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we keep going back to Temple Hill, but
am I rambling?
No, but I love Temple Hill, man.
Me too, man.
Yeah. That was, I mean, I like Layton as well. I like both those bands.
Me too.
So anyway, so let's move on. Belly of Despair, one of my favorites.
That's my favorite track.
That's your favorite?
Yeah.
That's such a good song.
It is.
Of course, I like the redo of Little Red Riding Hood. I mean, there's just, golly.
No Salt has the groove to it, you know? Yeah. And Dave, actually, Barrick was... He's the one that kind of slowed that down, made it groovy like it is, because it was kind of pumped up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he kind of, stopped us in the middle. Probably me, you know, taking off. I was like, can we just...
Yeah. Everyone, take a minute.
Down. And it actually was better, you know. So.
How about that CD? Now, you guys actually sent that one off. Do you know how many you initially pressed up of that?
I still have stacks of...
Sealed?
Yeah.
Of that you need to give me some of those, man. I need a couple of those.
I didn't know you wanted them, man.
Well, yes.
Sure, man.
God, I love that CD.
I'm in my truck right now.
Yeah. Do you really? Sealed copies?
Yeah.
Your truck's not here, though, is it?
It's done square.
Yeah. Well, another day. You don't have to do it today, because I know probably when you get done here, you're going to go home.
But yeah, we had a lot of those.
Yeah. So maybe 1,000?
Probably.
Yeah. You had to have sold a lot of them, man.
We did.
You guys did a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We toured around a little bit.
Yeah, you did. All right, let's talk about touring. Where did you go? What did you do? What's the furthest that either Temple Hill or Layton, either or? I'm sure Layton was a little bit more popular and did a little bit more than Temple Hill.
We really just did the area, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe Arkansas a little bit, Memphis and stuff.
Where'd you go in Arkansas?
Little Rock? Yeah. We just kind of, within a 4-hour probably. Well, Little Rock's six, so 6-hour drive radius.
So you guys didn't say, hey, man, we got a show in Boston.
We would have probably went, you know, if we had one, but we kept it local and just kind of toured around here a little bit. Just tried to push that CD, and we got pretty popular out there.
So what happened with Layton? The Layton's no more.
We were huge in Little Rock. Layton, it just kind of faded out too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, honestly, I moved to L.A.
Oh, wait a minute. I kind of remember that.
I moved off for a while.
How long were you in L.A.? Like a year or two?
Not even that long.
I remember you went out there. Were you living in a van?
No, I was living in a hotel.
Okay. Something about a van and you...
We drove a van out there.
Okay, that's what it was. Because I kind of remember that. You went out there and you were going out there...
To try to make it again. Yeah.
But wasn't there a band that you were going to be playing with? You had something lined up?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
This the friend of mine. Somebody got a hold of his demo, liked it, and he was involved with some kind of record company thing out there. Invited him out. So he invited me out and... Took the trudge to L.A., man, and went out there and tried that out for a while.
And so there was a band waiting for you when you got there. You were ready
to roll. We were the band, but the A&R record label dude or whatever was waiting for us to get our butts out there.
Yeah, he was like...
said, come on out, and we went. And
so what happened?
It didn't work out.
Well, I mean, did you play shows? Did the guy not like the band?
We rehearsed and we played one show out there, I think. Just one.
What one show did you play?
I forgot where it was. On Sunset Boulevard, Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
I forgot the name. It wasn't one of the, like the Whiskey or anything. It was like a little low.
Something smaller? Club.
Yeah.
I sense maybe that something not really good happened, but you're thinking, I probably shouldn't tell that story, and that's okay.
I don't like to really, you know.
Yeah. It's okay. It's all going to be in your book, right?
Yeah.
It'll all be in your book.
Put it in the book, man.
Yeah, okay. So you come back. Now, when you get back, is that when El Masivo, or is that a little... Okay.
I came back with a clean slate.
And
started. What do I do now?
Uh-huh.
I guess I'll put together a band here.
Did you put together El Masivo, or did you call everybody up and go, hey, I'm back in town. I'm ready to rock. Let's do something.
I don't know if I put it together or not, but I like... I think I introduced everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of got Dave first, and then Muck came in, and then finally Treddy. So, but I think I introduced everybody.
Yeah.
I kind of put it together a little bit, I guess. Because I introduced everyone, you know, like, here's this so-and-so.
El Masivo, I would say maybe the heaviest band that I know of that you've played in.
Probably so.
That band was together for a little while. You guys released a couple of, one. Did you do more than one EP?
We did like a demo, like two or three songs, and then we did the 7-song EP.
Yeah.
You know.
And that...
at Barracks.
And that band just kind of also, like the others, kind of went its way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. who came up with the name El Masivo?
That would be Muck.
Yeah, he came up with that, huh?
Yeah, Muck Etherton.
Yeah.
We're like...
That's a cool name.
We tried all kinds of different names. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
And if, I don't know where he came up with it. He's called me one day and said, I got it. El Masivo. I'm like, I like it. What's it mean?
It's good. It is good. So let's step off that a little bit, because I think that probably was, what, your last band that you were...
No, not really, but kind of.
What other stuff have you done after that, since then?
Man, I was in like... I was in the Cavemen for a little bit.
Were you a full-on member of that band?
For a while, yeah.
Okay.
I was like their first drummer.
Okay.
And then Billy the Droid and stuff, a little bit.
Well, I know you play... Now, see...
That's on and off a lot.
But Brian needs to play. That is a good... He's a really good frontman.
I told him that not too long ago.
He's really good.
Yep.
I saw them a couple of years ago. I think you were with them. That's right. You were playing at Rocky's.
I remember. Yeah, I saw you there.
Yeah, it was you and Brian and...
Todd.
That's right. Yeah. On was he playing bass?
Yeah.
Okay, because Brian, I remember he was playing guitar. But I tell you, I was blown away by that set. That was a great set that night.
Thanks, man.
It was really good, and that's the first time that I really was right there in front watching everything, and I was like, this dude is a hell of a front man.
Yep.
Why do they not play out more?
That's what I told him. He's a good songwriter, man.
He only plays out, what, once or twice a year, something like that? He makes just want it, doesn't he?
I don't know what's going on.
So you've done that a little bit off and on, but you haven't been in a full-on band in quite a while.
Then I was with, Dave Angstrom and Lexington, the banger, or whatever. He's in Harmono a little bit. He had a side project with his wife, banger.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for a while.
Yeah, but that was also kind of hit and miss as well, wasn't it?
It didn't last but a year.
I don't think he's with that wife, that woman anymore, is he?
Mm-mm. I think that's kind of how part of why the band did not
last. We don't want to go there. That's really none of our business.
Yeah. I'm not going to go into that either.
Yeah, we won't go there. But I remember that band, Banger. I remember you guys did some shows around town. I remember you did one with, I believe, the New Gods.
Yeah.
Over what, Tidballs, I believe?
Yeah. Yep.
I remember that.
It was like a blizzard that night. We didn't think anybody was going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
It was snowing so bad. Packed house, man.
Yeah. Well, I guess we never really know where you're going to pop up in another band someday. Especially
no idea.
One with a little bit of longevity.
I know.
Right? Are you good with that? I mean, you still okay?
I'm just not in a rush, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of just taking it easy. And,
well, you're a dad these days.
Yeah.
Exactly. How old is your son?
12.
12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably having the time of your life just hanging out with him, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, that's good.
He's my best buddy.
He's a cool little dude. He really is. I wish he was still taking martial arts.
Yeah, he's not doing that.
But he's so cool if he was.
He wants to be a singer.
Yeah.
I try to teach him the drums.
Uh-huh.
He don't want to learn.
There's a kit right there.
He's left-handed, too. I even set up my second alternative kit for a left-handed, little dude. He don't want to do it.
Left-handed little dude.
He wants to be a singer. He's writing like lyrics and books and stuff. So he's a word man.
Don Henley's a singer and he drums.
I don't know.
And you got the real guy from the Romantics.
I just
drummings?
Told him I wasn't going to force him.
Well,
like,
absolutely not. Let
you
him
don't
do
want to. So
yeah, but it's there for him. That's cool that it's there for him if he wants to. Yeah. Don't Let him just do what he wants to. So let's get on. I'm going to talk about music because I love talking about music because obviously I'm into music. You're into music. Let's talk about something other than bands that you've been involved in. Let's talk about music.
Okay.
Like bands that you're into, bands you've seen. Give me some bands you're into like in high school that you were like, who are these guys? I'm digging this.
High school. Who was I really into back then? I mean, I was, of course, the Metallica kid, you know, and like the Cult, you know, I was into them a lot. And I actually liked a lot of those just cheesy old, just, you know, metal bands and stuff, you know. I was kind of a metalhead kid, but I was into like, you know, in my bedroom at night, it'd be, you know, Dark Side of the Moon.
You'd be playing that
in the wall and stuff. Uh-huh. You know?
What were you doing in there that you were playing those records?
Man, just being a kid. Nothing. I was 14.
Some bands are like your favorites. Who are you into that's like, these are my bands? Everybody's got
like
their
old school or like right now?
Anybody. Doesn't matter if they're somebody.
I'm kind of old school, you know.
All right. Who?
Like the Doors and Zeppelin, of course. Sabbath, you know. But I like, you know, I like Clutch and Corrosion and stuff and Down, those bands.
Yeah, I know you like those guys.
But I listen to all kinds of different weird shit, too.
Like what?
Like the Dandy Warhols.
If you're talking about where you cuss there, it's okay. We're not on the radio.
Oh,
this
goody.
Is a podcast. You can cuss
hell yeah.
You can say all the shit you want to. It's all good.
Fucking A.
Exactly. Or as they say, fuck a B, it's got more holes. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, just stuff like that. Queen of Stone Age, you know? But like... vinyl and stuff, you know, it's like just really, really old music. I don't even know who it is. I just like go through and look, you know, if I like the cover.
Yeah.
It's a dollar or something in the dollar bin. I'll go home, put it in. That's like my majority of the music I listen to at home is this really old, like jazz, I guess.
I do that stuff too. And sometimes you find some really cool stuff.
Like who is, man. I know, man. I get blown away by some stuff.
Yeah. You're like, man, I wish I'd have known about this years ago.
I like big band music.
It's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin.
It's the best, man.
I listen to them all the time.
See, you are a true music fan. You don't just say, I'm into metal and metal's all there is. You're like, no, I appreciate music up and down, you know, whatever.
Female artist, all
absolutely.
Of them.
Absolutely.
Nico Case. I burn
she's
her
great.
Up all the time.
God, she's great. Her voice is amazing.
PJ Harvey, some weird stuff.
Yeah. So like your top three records of all time. Do you have a top three?
I like, The Doors first. Record is one of my favorites. Probably like Physical Graffiti from Zeppelin, I think, is a masterpiece. Do you say three?
Sure, give me one.
What's
more?
The third one?
You don't have to do three. You can do four or five. I don't care.
You know, just stuff like that are the really important records to me, man. You know?
So what do you do? What do you collect? What's your, like, thing on the side that nobody really knows about? Or, you know, do you collect trains?
Like my hobbies?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
What do I collect?
Yeah, well...
I don't know.
Everybody's into something. I mean, music is kind of a thing for you, obviously. You're a musician, and you probably have a pretty good-sized music collection.
I have a vast collection of kitchen utensils, like pots, pans, cast iron. Maybe I collect cast iron skillets, because I got a bunch...
Do you really?
...woks and cast iron skillets. And
do you do a lot of cooking?
Yeah.
So are you one of these that maybe go out on a Saturday to yard sales and look around to see what kind of interesting kitchen... pieces you can pick
I'm
up?
I'm interested in, kitchenware.
What's your meal? Like, let's say that you've got a lady coming over, and you want to impress her. You're like, I'm going to make my famous whatever. She's going to be like, dang!
You can't go wrong with, like, spaghetti and meatballs, I think.
Yeah, but that's like, anybody can do that. There's got to be something.
I made gumbo last night.
Well, what do you put in it?
Sausage, seafood, gumbo. Yeah.
Well, what? Sausage, scrimp, what
and
else?
Andouille. And shrimp, And just other...
No, you don't have any special secret whatever that you put in it?
I have a seafood stock that I make out of shells, like shrimp tails or shells. Make my own stock and stuff.
Yeah,
I like played rock and roll, you know, but you always got to pay the bills.
That's right.
And I always just worked in kitchens to get by and stuff. So I learned a few
You went there.
Tricks.
So we're going to go there. Tell us about some of the kitchens that you've worked in.
Man, everywhere. Applebee's, you know. The Red Lobster, Slobster. My first job was country cooking.
Country cooking here in town?
Yeah, it was like some kind of country buffet place.
Okay. For some reason, I'm thinking I've heard of that, but I can't place it.
But I've worked in the fancy restaurants too, like the fine dining and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've actually learned a little bit of what you're talking about, what you do at the house with utensils and kind of making
learned
your
it
own.
Just working jobs in kitchens, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of time, like... some of the other restaurants you named, like Applebee's and all that, probably those places just have set things. You know, this is what we have.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Kind of boring.
Yeah. Well,
you, frozen. Well, it's all frozen.
You go to something maybe a little higher end. Usually, you expect a little bit more freedom in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Creativity and stuff. Yeah.
So
I just got interested, you know, in this. Just by working.
Well, you gotta eat, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kind of, it's fun to me.
All right. So let's say a favorite meal. Do you have a favorite meal?
I have lots of favorite meals.
If somebody gave you $100 bill and say, look, I want you to take this $100 bill and I want you to go either to wherever your favorite place is to eat and have your favorite meal, or go buy what you need to make your favorite meal, what would you do?
I don't know. I mean, so many. Like Thai food, barbecue, the pho, the big bowls of pho over there.
So what kind of barbecue? Their barbecue? Like, you mean like...
I make my own, or just, you know, like shit, like Smoky Pig or whatever. Just hit that up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Pulled pork sandwich, man. You go in and it just smells so good in there.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, man, if they made air fresheners with that stuff, you'd just be driving around going, man, I'm so hungry.
Build a fire every day and smoke some meat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what's going on with you in the world of ladies? Have you ever been married before?
Come on, man.
Have you ever been married before?
No, never.
It's all right, man. Yeah, it's not for everybody. What about school, education? After high school, did you do anything?
I went on the road after high school.
Oh, that's right, because as soon as you were done. So really, music's been your life.
Yeah.
Most of your life, except for cooking here and there. Have you always worked in restaurants, food places?
Yeah, on and off. But, you know, I've done all kinds of other stuff, you know, and tried different things. But I always kind of miss the kitchen. I like it in there.
Well, we were talking a little bit off mic, off air, whatever you want to call it, when you first got here, about Kerry Pruitt's interview. And one of the things he mentioned in there is that at one time he would go around and do violinograms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you do anything kind of off the beaten path like that?
Well, maybe like after work.
Uh-huh.
I might tap around on the bar with some pencils and do a little beat on, you know, the bar or something.
Yeah.
I remember Kerry Pruitt doing his violin solos for the luncheon crowd at the Cambridge Market over there back in the day. I walked in and...
He's over there doing his
fiddling
thing.
Yeah. Then he busts a table.
Well, I mean, he's entertaining the folks and maybe getting a little bit of a tip, and then he's cleaning up after as he's supposed to do.
Yeah, gotta love that guy.
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
He is.
So what's your plans for the future? Just kind of working, and if a band comes up, cool. Probably the little dude is number one on the list.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just trying to be a good dad right now. But I mean, music is in me and always will be. And I'm open to whatever. I got an eye open, you know, something comes up.
Yeah.
But I'm not really striving, you know, hard to put something together, really. But the thought's always there. Mm-hmm. And I'd be open to something if something good came up.
Well, if we're about ready to wrap this up. Is there anything that you would like to add, or anything that you would like to ask me, or anything you're like, man, I wish you would ask me about this. I got a whole story about this.
In a nutshell. How'd you get started in this music?
In radio?
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever heard that before.
You can go back and listen to one of the earlier Sound Atlases. Well, I'll tell you, because you ask, and this is yours, and you ask, so I'll tell you. When I was growing up, there used to be a TV show. I'm sure you've heard of it, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching that and thinking, this looks kind of cool.
Right.
There's a lot of hot girls.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah. They're playing rock and roll. This DJ guy is, you know, just kind of, you know, plays music, gets paid, and is around these good-looking girls all the time.
Johnny Fever.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And so I thought, that looks kind of cool.
Wow.
And so that kind of logged into the back of my mind. But I was still thinking about maybe doing something in the military, because I'd been around the military most of my life, and I've always been fascinated by planes. So I thought, well, maybe a pilot. But the thing of it is I just didn't, you know, I'm one of these that I'll get the grade, but I don't want to do the extra work. I just want to get the grade and get on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I just kind of realized that I probably didn't have the discipline school-wise to get to where I needed to be,
right,
to become a pilot in the Navy.
Right.
So I moved up this way, and they had a broadcasting program up at Western, got in the broadcasting program, started working at the college station, and just kind of dun-dun-dun went from there.
WKRP.
Yeah, but that's what did it.
Very inspired by, yeah.
Dr. Johnny Fever.
That's cool.
And Jennifer.
I was an avid watcher of that as a child, yeah.
That's right. It still comes on, here, there, everywhere, and every once in a while, if I see it, I'll stop for a few minutes and watch it, but yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to put a lid on it. Do you have any websites or anything you need to plug? Anything at all?
No. Nothing to plug.
You're just being dad these days.
Yeah. Just tell everybody, be a good person.
That's true.
There you go.
Be a good person. If someone's listening right now, and this is a kind of a ridiculous question, but let's just say someone doesn't know anything about Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, The Doors, any of those bands right there. Give them one album they need to go check out. Just one.
Doors one. First Doors.
The First Doors album will do it.
Yep.
Okay. What's the best song on there?
The best song. It's a hard one, man. Yeah. Into the Night.
Into the Night. That's a good one. And that's, of course, one of the ones that was on their first demo.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the original demo of that? It's pretty cool.
It's kind of a laid-back song. It's something about it.
It's a little creepy, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Everybody check it out. Some Doors. Go to their first album. Check out Into the Night. And I guess that's a wrap.
All right.